just keep throwing this word around. I can't think of the word now. It basically means you're entitlement. I hear that word all the time. Entitled. What is it that you might think you're entitled to? Well, God, I'm serving you so I cannot get sick. God, I'm serving you so I will not have this problem. God, I'm serving you so you will take care of all my bills. God, I'm serving you so you will not have my child struck by a bolt of lightning and leave this planet. God, what are you doing? Nobody says that. Nobody says that. But boy, sometimes we act that way. They ought to do it my way. They ought to think, do what I say. Instead of walking in, preacher, what can I do? What can I do? Point and say, sick 'em. That's what I want to do. I don't care what. If I have to go out there and dig mud up out to get somebody in the house. What do I need to do, preacher? Be filled. When you're filled, my friend, you have got to give. It's just that simple. You can't help it. But he says, be filled with what? The knowledge. His knowledge. That be filled is literally a deep, deep understanding of spiritual things, of Scripture, the Word, the B-I-B-L-E. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, you folk ain't just having church. Man, y'all are being filled up with the knowledge of God through the power of the Word of God, and you are living it to everybody that sees you. Whew. Man. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that you present, that you give, that you extend your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this cesspool world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. What's the last thing we turn to most of the time? I tell you what, you let something go on CNN or Fox, what do we do? Boom. And we're eyeballing and checking. And they go to a commercial. We run to the bathroom, grab a drink on the way, and run back. And then we get on the phone. Did you hear what happened? Jesus came again? No. Well, good, because I'm still here. Praise God. I'm glad that didn't happen. What would you do if one of your friends calls? Hey, did you hear what happened? What? Jesus came. No! Just kidding. That'd be a cool joke, wouldn't it? I think I'm going to start doing that. I need to tell you something. Hang on to your boots. Jesus came 10 minutes ago. Are you still there? That's cool. That's cruel. It's like my friend has a cell phone. Something, 0666. That's his cell phone. Because people call him and say, and boy, they don't want to ask. Isn't that number? What number? And the testimony and the ministering and the sharing your faith is on. What number? You know that number? Which you know that 666? What do you mean? Then that yeah, and then you just take off from there. Change your phone number. Go get it changed. 666. Oh, I'm scared. Hey, let me ask you a question. When you go to the store and the change comes up $6.66. Excuse me, I'll be right back. Got to get a candy bar. We're so superstitious, amen. Don't you read your Bible? 666 don't mean jack to you if you're born again. I ain't scared of the devil. Don't sing it, devil. Bring it. 666 don't bother me. I ain't going to be him. Just saying. And then he says also in verse 9, seek and know his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow. He's talking about don't be frivolous. Don't get caught up in everything else in the world like we do. Y'all got them softball God people in here? Come on. Volleyball God. What else God? There's the cheerleading God. There's the football God. The hunting God. There's this, oh my goodness. Them softball folk, they'll buy Winnebagos and go off to Timbuktu to watch their kid play softball. We already took the offering, didn't we? Okay, amen. Just saying. Because I just killed it if we didn't. Amen. Matter of fact, somebody be like, can I have mine back, please? Beats all I ever seen. And can I just be honest? That kid, about 9 times out of 10, and sometimes more than that, will wind up in my office several years later. Is there any? I'm pregnant. Wow. Softball, God didn't serve you too well, did it? Well, that's hard, ain't it? Can I tell you something harder than that? Hell. Hell. And even what's worse than that sometimes is getting there. All the stuff you're going to go through to get to hell, and I may preach this message, that, you know, there are multiple strands of the fence around hell you got to go through to get to hell. You don't just walk into hell, my friend. You got to go by multiple things to get there. Look, he says, in other words, with spiritual eyes, that's hope. But if you look with physical eyes, that's hell. I've always talked to people who believe that there's a battle going on right there, about 6, 7, 8 foot above you. There's always a spiritual battle. Ooh, I'm not trying to freak you out, amen? You go to bed tonight, you'll be like, yeah. Some folk don't believe in that stuff. Some folk don't. They don't want to deal with that. I'll tell you about the little girl that I was in Houston. I was in Fort Worth, Texas, at a big church. She come walking up, pouring rain. She was drenched. She probably weighed 90 pounds. Want a Coke? Would you like a Coke? Yeah, I'd be fine. Got her a Coke. You know what she did with that Coke? She grabbed that sucker by the top and ripped it off. And I thought, uh-oh. I think it took us 6 hours to get all the demons out of that child. I mean, she ripped the top of that can flat off of that thing. 90 pounds. You not believe in that stuff if you want to. But I got bad news for you. You're going to get slammed. You probably are getting slammed. The Bible says we're in a battle. The Bible says put on that armor. Why do you put on armor? Because we're in a battle. Nobody goes into war over in Afghanistan without their rifle and their stuff on. Man, they don't just walk out there in their pajamas and go, hey, y'all, stop that. Stop it. My grandma used to say to the dogs, get on out here. I said, Grandpa, how you spell that? He said, I don't know. But he could say, them dogs knew just what he's talking about, amen? Some of y'all might be that bad. You just stick your finger and say, get on out of here, amen, and devil don't do that. And some of you are probably under attack and you don't even realize it. And let me tell you something else you probably ain't going to like. You start doing all this, guess what? You're going to get attacked. And you just leave this alone and you just step back into your little thing and hibernate in your little hole, shut your door and lock it. You'll probably never see the devil because he's already got you. You hogtied. But you get out here and start knocking on doors, flat tire, sick, car broke, kids messing up. Promise you, this ain't no yellow brick road. This is the battle. This is the battlefield. This is the battlefield. Well, he says, wisdom there is the ability to accumulate godly principles from the scriptures. Now, some people think if you can figure out one of them little Sudoku things, you got wisdom. Riddle me this, okay? Not okay. Boy, you're so smart. You got lots of wisdom. Most wise people I know are all preachers and ministers and saints of God that love the Word of God. And they'd say, you know, most of them ain't said much. They won't say much. But when they say something, it comes from God. Greater vision. Y'all know greater vision? Rodney, who stands in the middle, writes all them songs. Have you ever listened to the words? That old boy's in his Bible. That stuff don't come through National Geographic or Guidepost. That come out the Word of God. I'm telling you, you can see it. There's a witness. There's a testimony of those things. And he goes on. He says, and of course, understanding, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The understand, the wisdom is the ability to accumulate God's principles from the Scriptures, and the understanding is the ability to apply them daily. It's good to have it. It's good to know it. Well, I told a preacher earlier today, I said, some people think that everything I need to know about God, I learned in Vacation Bible School. I'm good. I'm done. I ain't kidding you. I know millions of Christians who never cracked their Bible. Some of them are sitting in this room. Never open it. Never open it. Some of y'all didn't even bring it. We come to worship the Lord out of the Word of God. Would you bring your Bible? What did you think we was going to do? You ever been to college or been to class at school? You go to math class, you're just not going to bring your book? That's stupid. I know that's a bad word. I had a girl tell me that one time. She said, little thrill. Ooh, I heard her say it. Mama. He said the S word. I thought, I did? And then she, bless God, she saved me. She said, he said stupid. I said, whoo, praise God. I don't even know what I'm saying up here. But I mean, y'all, come on. Common sense ain't real common anymore. If you come into the house of God to worship the God of gods, you need to bring the Word of God. It's kind of simple. Yeah. And then he also says, you will then see. Verse 9, gosh, there's so much stuff in verse 9, amen. Listen to this. Listen, Linda. Y'all heard that about Linda? That's so funny. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, don't cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. So if you're going to get that spiritual understanding and that spiritual wisdom, you will see clearly. The fog will be lifted. Everything, the sun shines, man, everything gets bright to you. Boy, it just, woo, just clears up. The Bible says the Word of God is a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. You ever walked around in the dark and hit your toe? I bet you didn't say, oh, monkey's uncle. Come on now. Altar's open. Woo. Spiritual insight and understanding is not reserved for the clergy. Oh, we come to church so we can find out all the answers. If you got a Bible, you got all the answers. What happened if we don't make it? What happened if we don't show up? What you going to do then? Well, we can't have church. Preacher ain't here. No, somebody get up and testify about what you did in your quiet time. Ruh-roh. What quiet time? That's what Paul's talking about. You folk got it going on. Y'all having your quiet time. Y'all studying. Y'all praying. Y'all seeking God. You're being filled with the knowledge. Bless God. You are the example of every church ought to be. It's right there. And then he says also, listen to this in verse 10, walk worthy of the Lord. Walking for the Lord is difficult. I'm sorry, but it's difficult. It's hard. There is suffering. Boy, there's lots of pleasure, too. There's lots of joy and excitement and seeing things. Man, I love to sit around that table. We got four or five big old tables in our outer room up there at the church. And, man, we come on Sunday night, have the Bible study, and folk are sitting there going, I never knew that. I've never heard it. Got some folk that are just come in and gotten saved. Man, they're like a sponge. And they, whoa, I never knew that. And, boy, they get excited. And they go out that door just to talk. And you're like, bless God, God, you showed up tonight, brother. When's the last time that happened to you? When's the last time? Think about it. Who do you try to impress? When's the last time you tried to just impress? Watch this, Lord. I'm going to show out for you, brother. I'm going to show out, God. I'm going to show up. I'm going to show out. You say, well, that's kind of haughty. It is. There's another word for it, obedient. You can be obedient without sounding like you're all that in a bag of Skittles. Come on. Most folk I know can't even share their faith because they're so concerned about the consciousness of them and their sin. I can't tell him that. I've been doing that myself. The silence is loud. You know silence is loud, amen? Come on. Y'all looking at me like, I sure wish he'd hurry up and get done. We're talking about God Almighty. I mean, the leaders of every nation, they came here and they come to Brunswick. Bless the Lord, you have mercy. They were there. The Secret Service was there. I gave the Secret Service my grid map because the lieutenant that was having lunch with them, I was in there. He said, Brother Andy, do you have a grid map in your truck? Yeah. I ain't got one. Would you get these guys one? I said, yeah. Ain't seen it since. They spent 2 years laying line and doing all kinds of stuff. Had an X-ray machine. Had two submarines out there. Had an Apache helicopter squad. Had 20,000 Marines and 20,000 police. And they had all kinds of stuff. All the SEAL teams were there. All of the president's snipers were there for a bunch of men. What do we do on Sunday? Boy, I tell you, my bursitis acting up again. I think I'll stay in. Is that thunder? You know, I can't drive in the rain unless I got to go to bingo. I'm just throwing stuff out, see where it lands, amen? He says walk in the Spirit. He's talking about consistently, constantly, courageously. Sometimes when you're walking in the Spirit and you're walking with God, you got to buck up, man. You got to be courageous. You got to step out and do some things that don't seem pleasant to you and kind of out of your comfort zone. I'd like for you to share your testimony Sunday. Well, in the bathroom maybe? You mean in front of all them people? Yeah. I know. I can't do that. Well, can I let you in on a secret? The Bible says that we will be at the judgment seat of Christ. You know how many folk going to be there? You ain't going to be able to number them. And guess what? You're going to have to step forward and give an account. In front of everybody. Might ought to start getting used to it, amen? So next Sunday, you just start calling on folk to share their testimony. Amen? Yeah, amen. Y'all be ready now. Y'all be ready. Yeah, okay. There'll be 20 people here Sunday. I heard some thunder. Woo. If you don't walk worthy with the Lord, can I tell you something very important? Listen to me. Nothing in your life will change. See, some of you are stuck in something. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley. And we use that a lot in funerals and services of celebration of life because that is one of the when we walk through, first thing about walking through the valley of the shadow, in order to have shadow, what you got to have? Light. Jesus is the light. So when you're walking through the valley, Jesus is with you. But there's another thing, you know, all the stages, the grief, the anger, the sadness, the depression, the da-da-da. Man, some folk get hung up in the valley. And they get stuck in there. God never tells us to get stuck. Yea, though I get stuck in the valley. No, he says, well, I'll walk through. When you're walking through the valley, somebody going to start chucking rocks at you and little sticks. And I mean, come on, there'll be spears. There'll be all kind of stuff thrown at you because you're walking through somebody's valley. Oh, boy. You ought to see them police officers when I walk up. Boy, they get quiet. There's Brother Randy. Shh. You know what they love to do? They love to not tell the new ones that I'm the preacher. And then they'll let him cuss about 4 or 5 words, and they'll say, do you know who this is? No. This is the chaplain. Oh, I preach. I said, whoa. First off, I ain't always been a preacher. Number two, you answer to the same one I answer to. Don't be looking at me and telling me sorry. Just saying. Nothing will change in that valley that you're in if you don't learn to walk with the Lord and gain some spiritual understanding and wisdom and knowledge and be deep in that. And you know what that constitutes? T-I-M-E. Other day I was on that crazy phone and I'm on Facebook and I realized, son, you have been on this thing for an hour. And I mean it went by boom, just like that. And I've posted on there, sorry, got to go get in the Word. See y'all later. Bye. And I shut that thing off. And now it hits me that every time I'm looking at that thing, I'm reminded of the fact that I ain't got time to study my Bible today, Lord. I got to, oh, you got time to sit on your rear end and look at that phone? Well, yeah, I guess you got a point. Woe unto you. Not W-H-O-A, W-O-E, woe unto you. If you have an encounter with God and God shows you something and you dismiss it. And this is a passage like that. Paul has the formula not only for the church but for the people of the church. Walk worthy. But then he also says in verse 10, seek to please him fully. Please. What's that mean? Study, pray, worship, witness, fellowship, all those things. You know what's not in there? Fight, throw mud, get mad, leave the church, cuss out the preacher, talk about, hey, how many times have you had preacher for lunch? But I've been in many restaurants doing what I do, and I hear them talking, boy, I preach, here they go, and I'm thinking, bless God, who are they talking about, me? And I try to start looking to see if it's some of my folk. Because they chewing some old boy up. All they need is their ketchup, and they're going to swallow him. I pray that God will flatten every tire on your car if you do that junk. That's going to be my prayer when I close tonight. Promise you. You got a problem? Come see him. I used to carry a little pad in my pocket. And people would come tell me, can I tell you about Brother Hal? I said, yes, you can. Hang on. I'd get my pad out. And they'd say, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to write down everything you say. I'm going straight to him and get him straightened out. Go ahead. Well, I don't want you to do that. I said, then go talk to him and don't you come tell me that again. I put a stop to that. You can tell I'm a bit ornery, amen? I ain't putting up with that kind of stuff. I've always told my pastors, when you're down there in your office and I'm over there in my office, I don't want your job. Keep it. I'll be the second man all the time, all day. All day. You better be careful. There's some cheering picking on the prophet one time. Y'all remember what happened to him, with them? What happened? Bear came and ate them. Maybe we need to bring a bear up in here. Go down to the zoo. I can bring a gator. Yeah, I can bring a 14-foot gator up in here and turn him loose. Woo! Maybe some folk getting right with God then, amen? Woo. And in verse 10 it says, be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Drop all the junk in the first part of verse 10. Get rid of all that stuff. Ask him what. Have you ever asked God what pleases him? Have you asked God if what you're doing pleases him? Ooh. Now, I got a theory. You want to hear it? Okay. Some of y'all get that tomorrow. If you got to ask him, there's a good possibility he don't like it. And so, therefore, what do we do? We ain't going to ask him. Amen? Better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission, isn't it? Come on, we just like our kids, amen? Where'd they learn it? They learned it from us. They watch everything you do. And they listen to everything you do. You know, Granny, like that word you said the other day when that car pulled out in front of you? Oh, yeah, I remember that word. Don't use that word. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all punching for... Get rid of the stuff. Be fruitful. Not, again, this is not rocket science. Come on, y'all. Where is your fruit? What does your fruit look like? And I know that you, when you're studying or you're teaching in the children's ministry or the youth ministry or whatever, and you're deacon or you're busy, those are all fruits. But here's the deal: he's not talking about that kind of fruit. They didn't have a choir, they didn't have a Sunday school, they didn't have a WMU or deacons as far as that goes. Like, he's talking about people, fruit that you have won to Christ, that you have encouraged to be born again. That's what he's talking about. Well, yeah,
but that means we got to go knock on doors. It's interesting. Then he says in verse 10, use
his gem. Look what it says in there, verse 10. Walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, fully being fruitful in every good work, and in increasing in the knowledge of God. Strength, let me go back, verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then verse 11, strengthened with all might. How do you get strong? You got to work out. No pain, no gain, man. You got to sweat, and you got to lift, and you got to do all the stuff, and you got to, man, that's how you lose weight. You got to exert more than you ingest. That's a good way of saying, stop eating so much and start working out. Same thing, amen? Y'all, you have to communicate with God. I told that to a couple today about marriage. You got to communicate. You got to cultivate. If you have a garden, what do you got to do? You got to go out there and do that stuff. You got to work it. You got to work that ground. Well, you're the same way as that goes. Use the gym. Increase. Grow. Get strong. Bulk up. Use his weights. Use his weight room, man. We're talking about the Christian curl bar. We're talking about the divine dumbbells. We're talking about the holy Bowflex and the Trinity treadmill. Amen. Woo! That's what y'all need to name is God's gym, church. Amen. Come on in and work out. I bet all them preppies would be up down here with their little spandex on. Where's the weights? Don't you do that. Don't you wear no spandex up in here, brother. You'll create a riot up in here. I'm sorry. I don't even want to get that picture in my mind. Amen. I have nightmares tonight. Woo, glory to God. But then he also says, use his power. Use his power. You got it. It's in you. How in the world can you have a brand new Lexus sitting at the house and you're going to ride a bicycle? That don't make no sense. And that's what we do sometimes. It's kind of like sound. Here's the gate for sound. Here's the flood of the sound. When the sound hits that gate, if it's that wide, guess what? You're gonna pinch it down. This is one of the things we teach with sound system. You have to widen the gate so that the pressure is not so bad, which is the signal that's pegging to the top, but you're not getting, because the little angle right there is so small. When you widen that out, you get more flow through there. You got more control. That's a basic principle. A basic principle. The power of God is being pinched down in most people's lives to where it's just eking through. Kind of like you got a kink in your slinky, amen? You know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever tried to go water the grass? You pull in the sprinkler, and you got to go 100 yards. And you pull in, and man, that thing, and then all of a sudden you look, and there ain't nothing coming out of that thing. What happened? You got a kink in it. Got to go find it, and it's all the way up at the front. And then you got to go back and make sure it's working. Come on. I guarantee you the number one problem in most churches is they got a kink in the hose. The power of God is not evident in most churches. You want me to tell you how I know? CNN and Fox ain't out there. If you was doing what you should be doing, if most churches were doing what they should be doing, if my church, they'd be at a, we want to talk to y'all. What in the world are y'all doing? Well, let me tell you. Y'all done got everybody stirred up in this county. I'll remind you of the man that said from one of the pastor's conferences after he went through this whole line of how many of you guys got grandchildren? Hands went up. He said, where do people like to eat? Hardee's, McDonald's, Taco Bell, da, 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 da. He said, let me ask you a question. If you took all them places out of the community, what would happen? Riot. People wouldn't eat. Think about what happened if the microwaves went out. Amen? Some of y'all starve, slapped to death. There ain't nothing in your freezer but microwavable stuff. What do you mean we got snap beans? I saw a classified ad the other day from a girl that said, why do y'all keep milking them cows? Why can't you just go to Winn-Dixie and get it where they make it? Lord have mercy. No, that's not a joke. That was the dead dog truth. She's serious. She's serious. Well, do you really understand that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you? That's in you. We have it. You know, it'll be lighting up the whole wide world. It should be. The Bible says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, which is in you. So it's your power versus his power. Now you tell me which one is greater. Then in verse 11, he says, be patient, be long-suffering. with joyfulness. Slow down, relax, breathe. When that thing comes, remember who's got you in the palm of your hand, and you put your eye back on the prize and back on the focus of where you need to be, and leave that stuff behind and move on forward. And that's what he's telling this church, because here's what's happening. He knows that the things that these people are doing is going to draw attention to the devil, and there he's going to come after them, and he's telling them, stay the course, be faithful, continue to do what you know to do, and do that.
Well,
how's all that possible? Let me finish by reading just some of the rest of this passage, and I'm not going to have time to talk about it much. But in verse 13, he says, well, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us unto the kingdom of God, of the Son of God, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, only you know how powerful that is in your life. You don't know how powerful that is in my life. You don't know how much sin that I've had, but God forgave it. And then he says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. You ought to go home and read the rest of that. If that don't light your fire, you need to get up and come down here and get born again tonight. Because I'm telling you, my friend, if you're going to be a child of God in a cesspool society, you better know what to do about it. Would you bow your heads? Every head bowed for just a moment.
This wasn't really the
soul winning salvation message. This is for the church. This is for the church. Nobody knows your sin but you and God. Or in the people that you're testifying that to. There is some folk that know it. They probably not here. But them folk at work know it. Them folk at school know it. Them folk in your neighborhood. Them folk that you're best friends with, they know it. My question to you is this. Is that good enough? Are you good enough to walk out these doors and say, hey, it's okay, I'm good. Now, I know some of you ain't never come to an altar. You just don't do that. That's not your bag. And so I'm wondering what it takes for God to humble you. I'm wondering what God has to bring in your life to bear that'll cause you to see things his way and say, you know what? You ain't all that. You need to come and get on your face. And you need to humble yourself before me. And you need to get on the same page with me, with the same focus as me. And when you start doing that, I'll open your eyes where you can not only see physical, but you can see spiritual. And I will change your life. Does it mean that much to you? Or are you okay like you are? I guess that's the thing you need to do tonight, is evaluate yourself. Just evaluate you. What condition are you in tonight? How goes it with you and your God? My brother, they're going to begin to play and sing. I'm just going to get out of the way, and I'm going to let you come. Brother Steve, you come on down front. And maybe you just need to come and take him by the hand and say, Pastor, I need to quit complaining about the stuff and just do what you need me to do. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right there where you are. Would you just stand? They're going to begin to play. Would you begin to come? Just come. Whatever God tells you to do. Maybe God's telling you to witness. Maybe God's telling you to study more. Maybe God's telling you to do something you don't want to do. You don't like that. That's okay. I can deal with that. But you better take it up with Jesus. Do it right now.